And now it's time for the Scrub Brothers Show. We're putting the body back together. Listen in and learn how amazing the human body is. Learn in a way that's a bit irreverent and thought-provoking. And now it's time to check in for your appointment with the Scrub Brothers.
Hey there, welcome back to Scrub Brothers. I'm here with Mike Beckham. I'm John Schiefeld, and we are the Scrub Brothers. Mike, how's your week been?
It's been fantastic, John. Had a great week, a lot of good folks, took care of a lot of people, and had some real rewarding experiences, to be sure.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when I go to your office, it's about as collegial as you can imagine. I mean, I enjoy going to the dentist. I know this sounds like a shameless plug, but you have a phenomenal office.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. You know, and everybody that works with us is such a people person. And we always say the best, we're in healthcare, and the most important thing about that is care. And in dentistry, it's not widgets to us, it's people. And you always treat people first, and then the dentistry will follow.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective. Okay, so today we are talking about sleep apnea. Now, this is near and dear to my heart, and I know you've become a sleep apnea guru. So this will be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, it is. And just, I think, to talk about me, but here's how the evolution in my life happened. I snored terribly. My family wouldn't even stay in the same room with me on vacation, literally. I didn't believe it was that bad, but I kind of started having these episodes where I literally kind of went, like, I woke myself up at night. My wife taped me one time, and the kids were laughing in the background. I could not believe how bad I snored. If you can't even have your family stay with you in the same room when you're on vacation, you got some problems. And I really started feeling bad. When you're a type A person like most of us there are, when you start feeling bad, you're just like, suck it up, you know? Drink more coffee. Give a little more exercise. Maybe you're not sleeping, whatever, you know? But you just don't, you take that and you just deal with it. Well, that's not normal, but you don't know it's not normal until you fall down the rabbit hole, and then you feel like, you know, I got to do something.
Well, so it's so funny because I literally would be yawning all day long, and I would wake up feeling not rested. I'd sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. And finally it dawned on me, I may have sleep apnea. And I'm like, for me, the body morphology of people's sleep apnea is this, you know, no neck, small jaw, whatever, so really overweight, sedentary, and that's not necessarily true.
Boy, it's not true at all. And I had the cutest little friend of mine. She was just a doll, about 5 feet tall, about 120, and she was horrible sleep apnea. And they tested her, and her husband understood the situation because he was a dentist, she was a hygienist. And she got treated for it as well. So the paradigm is not there at all. And you think the one huge group, that huge percentage of them that have sleep apnea are football players. And you think, well, it's because they're big and fat. No, it's neck mass. You have guys like Percy Harvin and defensive backs who probably have 5% body fat have horrible sleep apnea.
So I got tested. I went to the home sleep study, and I was moderate severe sleep apnea. And you way back in there, you made me a mouth guard, and I had that and still didn't work.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, you start saying, why did dentistry get involved? And I think the reason dentistry got involved was a couple reasons. Number one, if 5 years ago I didn't look at sleep apnea at all on patients. Now I look at it on every patient. You look at the back of their throat. What's their anatomy? Say ah. If you can't see the back of their throat, then they're going to have sleep apnea. If you look at people and you know that they're exhausted, you can see it. And people that have sleep apnea, the signs and symptoms are classic. But
yeah,
people,
go through them because you can see the back of my throat. And I never thought I had sleep apnea.
Yeah. And so what happens, the anesthesiologists have a rating. It's a Mallampati rating. All it means is how much of the back of the throat can you see.
Right. I use it before I animate somebody.
Exactly. I'm sure you. So do you know what yours was? Was yours not occluded?
No.
Your Mallampati? So it doesn't make a difference. It depends on how far back the soft palate is, what the tonicity of the muscle is in the
back.
That's
what I think my issue was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had floppy tissue.
Absolutely. And then,
in my throat, too, if you know what I'm saying. Sorry.
It can affect us in many ways. But so people with deep overbites, and most of Americans have some type of an overbite, drives the jaw back. If that jaw is driven back, it shuts the airway off. Medications, alcohol, anything that's going to relax the muscles in the back of the throat.
Exactly.
That's the muscles in the back of the throat, and if your jaw drops back, it shuts your airway off. Think if you were doing CPR, how would you save somebody? What's the first thing you do?
Open their airway.
How do you open their airway? Tip their head back, open their jaw, pull their jaw forward to get the tongue off the back of the pharynx. And when you see, there's a term that I just found out about a year ago, and I love it. It's a BFT. It's kind of a secret code, but it means big, fat tongue. And when you look at people and tongue sizes and tongue volume, and this is another show, so to speak, altogether, but orthodontics fits into this unbelievably because all of these fields in dentistry link together in so many different ways. Orthodontics creates a larger tongue volume because it widens the shape of the dental arch, which is the bone that forms the teeth. So there's more tongue volume, so the tongue will come forward so it can help with sleep apnea. So people with real narrow, crowded teeth.
Yeah, oh yeah, tongue, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen those people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tongue gets driven back, and they
do I have BFT? Hang on, let me show you. No, seriously, because I don't think I have BFT. I'm not like Gene Simmons.
No, no, you don't have BFT, and you can see it. People open their mouth, and you look in the back of the mouth, and they'll have literally have the imprints of their teeth on their tongue.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's scalloping, we call it, and then they'll have a white line almost always on the cheek. So if you look in your, stick your tongue out there at home, folks, and you see little impressions of those teeth, you've got issues because that means
BFT.
You've got a BFT, which is that BFT is getting driven to the back of your throat, and I will bet dollars to donuts you have sleep apnea.
So I went to a sleep physician, and he told me that by definition, if you snore, you have some degree of sleep apnea, which the second he said it made complete sense because it's air going past tissue.
Right, exactly. That it's the obstruction that happens, and if you look at the evolution of sleep apnea. First of all, can I give a definition of sleep apnea?
Yeah, please.
It's really simple, and it sounds, there's so many little, you know, terms, but sleep apnea is this. You stop breathing for at least 10 seconds.
I was like 39 seconds of apnea.
Okay. As a side note, let me just tell you how serious this can be. We had a guy come in, 39 seconds. So we had a guy come in after
multiple times.
Apnea is not just like this happens one time. We had a guy come in, big old horse of a dude, old football player, really nice guy, and we had talked to him about it, and his wife sent him to the office because we do home sleep testing in the dental office. We have a dental testing home unit, and we give it to the folks at home. They take it home. You come back, read it through the computer. It's a seamless thing. It's easy for them. I mean, we charge, I think, just parts on the darn thing. It's nothing. So, and then we work in conjunction with a board-certified sleep physician who is the only person that can really diagnose sleep apnea. They read it with us, even though we get everything out, and we develop the right plan for the people. So anyway, he came in, and he said, my wife says I stop breathing all the time. I'm really worried about this. Two guys we did temporary appliances on because they were so panicked because their wife said, I told you haven't been sleeping. And then after we talked to them and gave them some literature, they came back, and they said, I'm not breathing. Well, we tested the one guy. He was 90 seconds he stopped breathing multiple times. And I got him up. I said, Chris, come here for a second. I got him in front of the mirror in the office. I said, okay, I got a timer. You're going to hold your breath for a minute and a half. And he said, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can.
Yeah, you're doing it.
You're doing that, and you're doing that all. The other fellow was 111 seconds multiple times throughout the night. And so why is that bad? Well, it triggers everything that can be that can go wrong with your body. Your blood pressure goes through the roof. Your heart is pounding like a maniac.
Right, so you're trying to compensate. And so people with chronic sleep apnea have all sorts of medical sequelae. I mean, and not in bad medical sequelae. Heart disease, congestive heart failure.
It's crazy. Let me just read a few of these on the list, John, which is, here's one thing that I think is fascinating. People don't understand that if you have sleep apnea, you gain weight. Well, why is that? It's because when you go through those episodes of, think your body has this fight or flight mechanism that we all know about, evolve with humans. So, gosh, what happens? I have sleep apnea. So your brain, let's say in a simple term, is asleep, but it's thinking it's getting choked. So you're not breathing at all. So what does your body do? Well, what are you going to do if you're going to fight somebody off? You're going to dump, the liver's going to dump glucose into your system, so you're going to have the
power. Catecholamine.
And catecholamines.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So you got chemicals going in your body. Your glucose goes up. So if you have a diabetic person or somebody that's not diabetic, and you go ahead and you take their blood sugar level in the middle of the night, guess what? Their blood sugar is way high. Well, yeah. I haven't eaten anything. Yep, but your liver is dumping
glycogen.
Sugar.
Yeah,
exactly. There you go. Exactly. It breaks down glycogen, so that turns into sugar, and that drives your sugar level up. What happens to your sugar when you don't use it? Turns into fat, right?
Yeah, carbohydrate.
What's the fat? So it increases diabetes, blood pressure, hypertension. It puts a huge strain on your heart, increase in strokes. Here's one that a lot of people don't, and I came to appreciate because it affected me, acid reflux. If you see how this is fascinating, when you watch a video of somebody that has sleep apnea, here's how it starts. Their airway gets shut off. Then what you see, and we have monitors that we send on the sleep test that measure this, their stomach and chest start going up and down, up and down. It's because they're trying to regurgitate almost and force air into their system, and they can't do it. That's when the acid gets shoved up.
Yeah, your esophagus.
Esophagus burns the esophagus, can affect your teeth, because if you look at their teeth, they have a characteristic acid reflux pattern. It can torch your vocal cords, which is what it did to me. And then what happens is you start to grind your teeth heavily, because that's the body's mechanism of trying to get the jaw forward. And when you grind, and then all of a sudden the airway pops up. And then they take a few deep breaths, and then bang, they're back down the rabbit hole again, and they're down the same thing, chest, and it goes back and forth. So all night long, these people never sleep.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
And they don't know it.
And they don't know it.
Like, I would wake up a few times gasping for air, but not really remember it, but I snored.
Exactly.
And it was really recent. I mean, it was the last 5 or 6 years.
Exactly. But I've seen you over years and years, and I knew that you were sleep apneic, or that you didn't sleep, and we didn't really understand the reason, but we have come to understand that very well.
Now I do a CPAP religiously every night, and as pain in the rear end as it is, I really wake up pretty rested.
Is it just on your nose?
No, because I've had my nose broken, so I have to have the full face. I have the mouth. I'm like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Luke.
Well, that's one thing, too.
It's very attractive.
If people don't have an open nasal airway, you are a huge candidate for. And that's even when we use oral appliances. Oral appliances are the American Academy of Sleep Medicine dictates oral appliances as a primary treatment for people with mild to moderate sleep apnea. If you look at the gold standard, the gold standard for treating sleep apnea is still CPAP, and always will be, and it should be. But a lot of people can't.
Talk what CPAP is.
It's a continuous positive air pressure.
What does that do?
It blows open. Basically, you've got a mask on of some sort that blows open via pressure your airway.
It's about like 5 to 7 millimeters of pressure.
Yeah, and support. And the titration on that is done at sleep labs and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, I mean, they work. They work. Like the two fellows that I talked about, the 90 seconds and the 111 seconds, they weren't not candidates for oral appliances. They were not. They're CPAP, and they're severe, and they're on CPAP, and they're happy as can be. And every time I see somebody that goes on it, their face changes, their color changes.
Yeah, it's shocking.
The bags under their eyes go away, and they start to lose weight.
Yeah.
And they just start spontaneously losing weight, and they're like, wow, I can't believe this happened. So it's so serious because it does so many different things. You know, back in the football era, this was pretty amazing. I just got back from a course in Las Vegas. 8,000 dentists from around the world. Fantastic conference. This gal gave a presentation on sleep apnea. She starts playing this video or audio, this horrible snoring kind of thing going on. And so she just kind of winds the conference down, and she goes through some interesting stats, some of which I knew before. Reggie White, you know, the famous football player who died, he basically died of complications that were related to sleep apnea.
From heart disease, lung disease?
Yep, exactly.
Pulmonary hypertension.
Exactly. So she said that he died, and he had a CPAP, but he never used it because he couldn't use it, and he wouldn't use it.
It takes some getting used to.
It does take getting used to, but the reason that oral appliances, we use them even on people that are severe if they won't use a CPAP, is because the statistics are that about 60% of the people use a CPAP, at least 40 don't.
Really?
And it won't. They're like Judge Scalia that just passed away not too long ago.
Now, he looks like he does sleep apnea.
Totally.
I met him. He's a sleep apnea dude.
Didn't he, though?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. And he died with a CPAP on his bedside, and it wasn't on. And
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was sitting by his bedside. So you think, well, why would that be? Well, it's because he couldn't use it. And
wait, when you say couldn't, why?
Well, you know, they just don't.
I think you can get used to it.
I think you can get used to anything.
It's not easy.
Yeah. I think, for me, I'll do whatever you need to do. If it makes you feel better and
you know it's going to help.
Okay,
let's go back, because you missed an incredible part of the story. So you played a high school football game with an acute appendicitis. So right there, folks, that tells you he will do whatever he needs to do. But this takes it to a whole new level. So literally, it's in the Scrabble. So Mike, just tell the story.
Okay, well, real fast. This was before I got using the oral appliance, but I started, my uvula was literally getting, I could feel it was stretched because I was snoring so loud, and it just started covering the back of my throat. I would run and feel it, and I was snoring. I was like, I'm so sick of this stuff.
So your uvula is the thing that hangs down the back of your throat.
Yeah, exactly. So this sounds psychotic, but it's really not, because if you know the...
No, it is.
If you know the anatomy, it's not a big deal. So I have two great dental assistants, and one day I said, when my beautiful little wife had gone, I said, you guys, light it up, get the laser out. I'm cutting this freaking thing off the back of my throat. So I went ahead, we just got a mirror out. I had my two wonderful dental assistants with me, and I just numbed up the back of my throat. We got a mirror out, and I put a little lasso around the old uvula and pulled it down and lasered.
Did you burn it off or laser it off?
Well, I lasered it off the first time. I did it after that.
Wait,
Is it
like a chameleon that'll grow back?
No, what happened was I had effect off of that, so I said, you know what, I don't want to go in the hospital. I don't want to do this doggone thing. So we numbed it up again a second time, but this
same
was
day months later.
And I just was
you
got
cut off your own uvula.
And I got a little more aggressive with the back of the palate. So I lasered the back of my palate off, and then I couldn't actually get it all off because it's hard working in the mirror when you're trying to breathe.
You're working backwards.
So the gals helped me out, but we lasered it off. We did a little cold steel too, and we worked out great, and I healed up.
Well,
and
cold steel is a euphemism for a scalpel.
Yes, it is. So,
scalpel.
Yeah. So, but it's funny because I'll go in there to ENT's offices, and they'll say, "Oh, you had that U-triple-P," and I'll say, which means like uvuloplipoplasty, blah blah, and I said, "Yes, I did."
I'd love to comment. It sounds psychotic, but it's not. No, it's psychotic. You don't cut off. I'm going to tell a story in a few minutes here about somebody else who cut something off. But yeah.
So anyway, I did. I did that. And honestly, I did it out of desperation because I was just so sick and tired of the darn thing. And I hate being down. I figured, I can do it. I know what I'm doing. So
I was sick in my darn uvula. Don't try this at home, folks.
So, yeah. So I actually saw my buddy who was a physician the other day. And he was looking back at my throat. He just looks at me and shakes his head. He goes... Yeah. So where's your uvula? And I pointed to the garbage can. I said, it's over there someplace. So I did get rid of the little guy, and I'm glad about that.
That is not right.
I got a great little. This is another, just to highlight the CPAP thing. It's another couple of issues here. When CPAP, it's incredible. This is a typical bureaucratic screw up. You want your pilots and your truck drivers to be well rested, right? Well, if they're like the rest of the population, they don't get tested. Why don't they get tested? Because what do they do, John, when they get tested?
So this is exactly what happened to me. The FAA is all over this issue. So I self-admitted, or whatever you call it, self-disclosed that I had sleep apnea.
Because John's a pilot as well.
Every year I've got to now have this recording and say, how many times did I use a CPAP machine, blah, blah, blah. It's a total pain in the rear end. But you got to know it.
You got to know it. Here's the deal. We've got this is a true story as well. And the guys are like truckers. They'll shut them down, and they won't let them drive unless they follow these regulations, or they get tested, and God forbid they get tested, and then they got to get retested before they get back on the road, and blah, 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 blah. So it's tough on them. So here's a true story. So this trucker is working, and he had a CPAP, and the CPAP readings were perfect, and everything was good, and he fell asleep at the wheel and ran into a couple of cars and ran off the road, and luckily nobody was hurt or killed. But guess where his CPAP was? His CPAP wasn't with him in the truck. His wife was wearing the CPAP at home so they could turn in good readings to the company so he could keep working.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. It's disappointing, but, truth is stranger than fiction, as we all know, right?
So. Oh, my God. So folks, so here's the bottom line. I mean, if you are snoring, get checked.
Absolutely.
Because if you're mild, great, or mild to moderate, great, see your dentist, get an appliance made. If you're moderate to severe, you may require a little bit more aggressive stuff. Don't cut off your own uvula. Jesus. But CPAP machines are tolerable. I mean, I've literally had one for a couple of years now. I wear it religiously. It's not the most comfortable thing in the world, but you sleep and dream.
Yeah.
I did not dream for years.
See, isn't that funny John says that? Because that's one of the things I just thought, I didn't remember my dreams.
Yeah. I was like anti-Martin Luther King. I never had a dream. Now I have dreams. for and, one day.
I remember that. But no, but that's true. That's one thing. And I just thought, oh, I just don't remember my dreams. I wasn't having any dreams. Yeah. I was never dropping into REM sleep. I was never getting that. I remember the first time I got one, I went, oh my gosh.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, isn't it amazing?
I dreamed about you. Your uvula.
Poor guy.
Uvula.
But there are screening tests that you can take as well at home to see if you have any issues. And we'll put those on the website for you as well. There's body mass index.
Neck size, right?
Neck size is a huge
18? Is that
number? It's 17 for males and 15 for women.
So I'm 17 and a half.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. So it's a size. It's a true thing. So we'll put some of those interesting things on the website as well. But it's a huge thing. And that's, again, how does it relate to bruxism, dentistry? There's so many ancillary ways, which we'll get into more. But that pattern of sleep apnea that we described earlier, where bruxism or tooth grinding is the last event, and it's huge, and that's what pops that airway open. And you see those videos. You literally sit there and almost want to get up and shake the person on the TV. You're thinking, my God, wake up.
Yeah, you're not breathing.
But you're not breathing, yeah.
All right, so scrubbrothers.com is the website, and you'll see some questions or some screening questions for sleep apnea. What else you got there, Mike?
I've got a great story for you in a little bit. My personal story, we've already kind of gone through that, John, and a few little noted celebrities. I was going to tell the folks this as well. William Shatner's getting treated for it as well. Jerry Garcia.
Really?
It was comorbidity.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look at him. He was a diabetic, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then you say chicken and egg kind of thing as well. I mean, some of those things. And he did not die driving the train high on cocaine. He died in his sleep, kind of.
Crazy. You know. Question of the week.
Okay, question of the week here comes from Donita in Marshalltown, Iowa. And Donita asks, do flu shots, can they give you the flu? And I always thought that they could, and that's why I refuse them every year, and every MD shakes their head at me. I know.
I'm shaking my head right now.
I'm telling you.
Did you ever go to school? That's what I want to know. No. So I get this question all the time.
Does correspondence help?
Yeah. never. Truck driver school. So no, you cannot, and people tell me this and literally swear by it all the time. Can the flu shot cause flu? The answer is no. There's a couple kinds of flu shot. There's recombinant flu shot, and there's inactivated virus flu shot. Neither of them can cause the flu, but some people get local reactions after flu shot. Their arm will get red or sore or what have you. That's a local reaction from really the chemical in the flu shot. Some people who do get the flu shot doesn't work for a couple weeks. So if you get it, you're not really protected for a couple weeks. Can you get more than one flu shot in a season? Yes, and more than one flu shot probably gives you better protection than just one flu shot.
Well, what is the chemical in there, though? Is it a preservative? Is that what they're reacting?
It's probably the preservative.
A sulfite? Is that what it is?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because I think it's different and different, because there's also a nasal flu shot as well, or nasal flu
spray. But they wouldn't get a fever from that
No, but a lot of people actually get the flu, and just, you know, by happenstance, they're coming down with the flu, they don't know it, so 3 or 4 days later, they get the flu, and the flu shot hasn't worked yet. But of course, you know, they think, oh my God, that flu shot gave me the flu. The flu shot cannot give you the flu.
Because it's not active virus.
It's not active virus, or it's recombinant, which is just the pure DNA. In some years, the flu shot works great. In some years, we predict the wrong strain, and the flu shot does not work for the strain that's so prevalent. So this year is supposed to be a bad flu year.
So it's a prediction by what, National Institute of Health, that this is going to be the strain this year?
I think so. It's like an NIH sort of prediction. Wow. Or CDC, probably more likely. All right, so Mike, it is time for the funny story of the week, and I've got one, and it relates to you, believe it or not.
Uh-oh.
But not really relates to you, but it's like you. So when I was a resident, I had an attending named Steve, and Steve was the most benign, pleasant guy in the world. And one of the other residents came up to him and said, hey, Steve, I've got this guy here. He's complaining of pain with sex. And so he goes, I don't know what's wrong with him. He goes, everything looks fine to me. So Steve goes over there, as attendings do, in training institutions, and introduced himself and says, okay, so my resident here says that you're having pain with sex. Pain with sex.
Okay, I thought it was pain. Okay.
Yeah, pain with sex. And which is a little bit unusual, emergency department sort of complaint, but not unheard of. And so the guy basically goes on and on. And so Steve finally says, well, wait a minute. So it sounds like you ought to be circumcised. And the guy goes, yeah, that's it. I want all the skin cut off. All this extra skin I want to cut off. And Steve goes, oh, okay, no problem. We'll send you to a urologist. Not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. So he goes, no, I want it done right now. And so he goes, well, you know, this is an emergency department. We don't really do circumcisions in the emergency department. That's not what we're here for. And the guy gets kind of indignant. He says, this is a level 1 trauma center, and you can't cut off a little bit of skin on my penis? And Steve, who never gets flustered, never bites back, says, look, buddy, this is not this is not circumcision to go, have it your ways. We're not Burger King here. So he said the guy storms out of the emergency department. So 2 days later, the guy comes back. Now, this is where it gets to be very similar to you. He cuts off all the skin on his penis, except his foreskin. Oh, so he takes all the skin off the shaft himself, but leaves the foreskin, and he had it backwards.
Oh, my God.
And I said to Steve, I said, so did you not realize this guy was kind of crazy? And he goes, well, no. He goes, I thought he was just, you know, wanted the skin cut off. He said, well, he did. And he did.
Oh, my Lord.
Crazy story of the day.
Oh, my Lord. I'm cringing right now. Good
well,
God.
Well, yeah, but, Mike, you cut off your uvula.
No, that's
for
not
God's
a big
sakes.
Deal. It's nothing to that.
It's skin. That's it. I mean, what a great way to end. That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening to Scrub Brothers. Mike, we'll see you next week.
You bet. You have a great week, folks.
For listening to the Scrub Brothers Show. Every week, putting the body back together right here. Listen live or on demand 24/7. Join us next week for your appointment with the Scrub Brothers.